Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be in the house of God today? I want you to turn to your neighbor and I would like you to greet them. I want you to give them a good smile. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much, worship team, for leading us into the presence of God. I tell you, every Sunday, I'm looking forward to come here so I can be in the presence of God. And I also want to thank you very much for coming to the house of God. Our lives will never be the same. Yes, it. I want to. Lord, you love me. You poured your life to me. And I'm here to worship you. For indeed you gave your life for me. Lord, I lift up my eyes. Lord, I lift up my hands to you. Lord, I want to say how much I love you. It is because of you I am standing before you to sing a song of glory unto you. I come before you now, just as I am to you. I bow down before you, Lord, and I say to you, you are holy, Lord. You are worthy, God. You are mighty, God. Forever give you praise. You are holy, Lord. You are forever faithful. Lift up your name. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our everlasting Father, there is none like you. We come, Father, to this house to pay homage to you. We acknowledge your sovereignty. We acknowledge your lordship. We so declare, Father, that without your strength, we cannot make it. Without your guiding us, Lord, we would go astray. Without your hand upon what we do, Lord, it would all be in vain. And I thank you because you've set your eyes upon us this morning. That even as we come before you, Father, to lift up our hands to bless you, as we come to spill our hearts before you, Father, you're able to receive the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of praise, Father. We adore you. We honor you. There is none like you, Father, in all the earth. Thank you for putting this universe together. And what is man that you think about him so closely and so dearly that you put him in a planet called Earth? constantly thinking about him and directing his paths. I thank you for the plan of salvation. You have a plan to take us all home, where we will dwell with you, Father, days on end. I thank you, Father, because no one wants to go to hell. We don't want to go to hell, Lord. We thank you, Father. Why don't you lift up your hands one more time and just worship him. Just worship him. Just extol him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, you put a message, Father, for us this day. And I pray that you shall use me as an instrument of honor this morning. You shall use me, Lord, as a conduit, Father, to deliver to us what you have for us. For indeed, we do not know what to pray and how to do it. But the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And he directs us into the heart of God. For who knows the mind of God? Who knows the mind of the Spirit except the Spirit of God? And we ask the Spirit of God to take us into the heart of God, that we may draw from there the very precepts of our lives, the very precepts that we need even to forge ahead in our lives. Father, we thank you and we adore you, Lord. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. We respect you, we honor you, and we adore you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Everybody shouted amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, George. God bless you. I'm so excited this morning to be in the house of God. For the next few minutes, I'd like every one of us to be very attentive to what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us. Because I believe what the Lord has deposited in my spirit today is going to be beneficial to all of us. Hallelujah. And my prayer this wonderful morning is that this afternoon is that we may open up our inner ears and hear what the Spirit of God says. For what does it benefit us if we can come here every Sunday and listen or hear a good word and then it doesn't benefit us, or we don't apply ourselves to that word? It is indeed, it would be the greatest honor if we would take the scriptures and read them and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to apply ourselves to these scriptures. For indeed here, there is life. In these scriptures, the Bible says, this is the way, this is the truth, and this is the life. This is Jesus. He is the bread of life. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And so I believe that we are going to be blessed and that we are going to apply ourselves to what the Lord is speaking to us today. I want to bring a message that the Lord put in my spirit in the course of this week, actually in the course of last week, a message that I will call Defeating the Enemies of Your Spiritual Advancement. Defeating the Enemies of Your Spiritual Advancement. Can you all say, defeating the enemies of my spiritual advancement? Defeating the enemies. Say it like you mean it. Defeating the enemies of my spiritual advancement. Church, there is nothing that we are going to accomplish in the body. The things that the Lord has set to accomplish in the church today without us being mature in him. I thank God for what has been going on in the Bible study, and actually I would like to urge every one of us who the Lord will avail an opportunity to come and join us as we study the scriptures, for in these scriptures there is the life. Last Thursday we focused ourselves, we've been studying the the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And there is something that came so powerfully as we were studying, and as the Spirit of God was speaking to us, and He was admonishing us that without prayer, there will never be any spiritual development or growth. Praise be to God. There has to be a level. If we have to get to another level or in another dimension where the Holy Spirit wants us to get into, then we have to realize that we have been called to be intercessors and to be prayer warriors. And this, the responsibility of intercession, the responsibility of speaking unto our God, the responsibility of getting into the Holy of Holies is not just relegated to just a bunch of Christians, just a few people that God has called to come here on a Wednesday or to just get together on a Saturday morning. And we give them a name, prayer intercessors for the church. Throughout the church history, throughout the ministry of Jesus, we didn't have a set number or a special group of people who would seclude in a certain area and just pray all the time while others would go about their own businesses. But as long as we have been enrolled in the kingdom of God, as long as we are born again, God qualifies us to be men and women who can come into the Holy of Holies, regardless of where we come from, regardless of our geographical location, regardless of our where we live, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of our nationality, as long as you've been enrolled into the kingdom of God, as long as you are called a child of God, God, with His own sovereign power and endowed with the wisdom and glory, He looks upon every child of God to stand in the gap for the purposes of, for His purposes to be accomplished here on earth. Praise be to God. And we were searching the scriptures, and as we were reasoning with each other, we found out that sometimes we find ourselves in situations whereby we can blame ourselves, or we can look down upon ourselves, or we may find ourselves as weak, because not anybody that is called into the kingdom of God comes into the kingdom of God knowing everything that they ought to know. Not everybody who comes into the kingdom of God comes ready to eat hard food. Praise be to God. But the Lord, in His glorious power, expects us to start at a point whereby we can advance gradually to a point whereby He can depend upon us. And sometimes we are going to find ourselves as weak, and we may not even know what to do. We may not even know how to say the prayers, or we may not even know how to speak to our Father. But I thank God, because in Romans chapter number 6, verse number 28, praise be to God, the Bible tells us, Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26, the Bible tells us, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray. We do not know what to pray. For as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. In other words, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. There are certain levels. We are all in certain levels. Praise be to God. There are other people who can pray 1 hour. There are other people who can pray 10 minutes. You can pray 5 minutes. But God has called us to be at different levels, and it is okay. But the Lord wants us, at any one given time when we receive the call, to be responsible enough to adjudicate the duty for which He has called us to do. And when we rely and give ourselves to this life-giving Spirit of the living God, He is able to help us in our weaknesses. Praise be to God. I thank God, because our God is a merciful God. He surrounds us with a special loving kindness. The tender mercies that he gives us is so much overwhelming, and he is able to renew our strength like an eagle. When you feel so down, the Spirit of the living God focuses on you, and he is able, if you are willing, able and ready, to lift up your hand and take you to a place where you ought to be. Hallelujah. What am I saying? If you feel weak, and if you feel like you are unworthy, if you feel like, you know what, I am not among the number that I've been called to intercede, I want you right now to renounce that right now and know in your knower that you are the person that the Spirit of God is targeting this morning to strengthen you up so that he can place you in a certain position so that when the call of God comes, you will be ready. Hallelujah. So that when the call of God comes, you will be ready. Glory be to Jesus. I'd like you to be very attentive. Now, what is spiritual advancement? I was wondering, because you might wonder, what is spiritual advancement? Is spiritual advancement really maybe having several prayer languages so that when we meet, you can speak in 1, 2, 3, 4 prayer languages while others may be speaking one? Is really spiritual maturity or spiritual advancement a place whereby you feel now, you know what, I am up to where God wants me to be, and I don't think I need any more of God. I can survive with what I have. What is really spiritual advancement? When do you know that you're advancing spiritually? Oh, I would like us to really be focused here, because the Lord, the Spirit of God, I feel every time I go to prayer in the last couple of weeks that every time that the Spirit of God speaking unto my spirit, oh, I desire for the church to advance in their spirituality. I desire for the church to be mature, because there are certain things that we are just about to get into that will call for somebody who is set certain standards up. The Bible says when the devil comes like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. And you know, when I was focusing on that, I wondered, would you be ready really to rise up with that standard that the Lord raises up? Because suddenly, if we are not well advanced, if we are not well capable and ready, when the devil comes in like a flood, my God and your God will suddenly raise up a standard. But I wondered, is the church really ready to survive on that standard that the Lord raises up? We are just about to get into another phase. The battle is going to get intense, church of God. The battle is going to intensify. And let me tell you, there was a preacher who came up all the way from Botswana, and he was reminding us that, you know what, we may have now to really move on from those just food prayers that we pray. What happens when you ask your little young children to pray? No, God bless mama, God bless daddy, God bless our food. And that is still okay. We are training them how to pray. We are training them the language of the battle in which we are involved in. Praise be to God. But we as adults, we who have come to the knowledge, full knowledge of the Lord, I don't believe that the Lord wants us to dwell in those things, thanksgiving prayer food that we pray when we're giving thanks. You know, quick 2 minutes prayer and that is all that we do in a day. It is not going to cut it, church. I'm telling you the truth. It is not going to cut it. Now, what is spiritual advancement? Now, in his book, Maya Baba, I love this writer, Maya Baba. The title of the book is The Dynamics of Spiritual Advancement. You might go Google it. Dynamics of Spiritual Advancement. This is what this man says. Spiritual advancement begins where there is a radical change in the outlook of the worldly man. The worldly man lives mostly for the body. And even in those pursuits which do not seem to have direct reference to the body, in the last analysis, the ultimate motive power to be found in the desires connected is the desires that are connected with the body. For example, the worldly man lives to eat. He does not eat to live.
He has not yet discovered any purpose clearly transcending his body. So the body and its comforts become the center of all his pursuits. But when he discovers a value in which the soul is predominant, the body is at once relegated to the background. Hallelujah. So what is spiritual advancement? Spiritual advancement, see, the Bible tells us we need to love ourselves as we love one another. Praise be to God. It is good to tender for our bodies. It is good to tender for ourselves. It's good to take care of ourselves, and it's all that is good. But if the main purpose for which we live here today, it is just to fulfill the needs of this mortal body, then that doesn't qualify for us to be in a spiritual advancement. But spiritual advancement will come when we pursue, or rather meet the sustenance of the desires of this flesh and use that to propel us for a higher purpose in which God has given us. In other words, everybody here sleeps eight hours. Okay? But if something has to happen on a daily basis, if we have to take inventory of our lives on a daily basis, we cannot be sleeping, you know, all the way till morning, and in the morning we just wake up, brush our teeth, and go to work without even a time to devote ourselves and to thank God, or even a time of prayer, a time to study the scriptures. If we feel like, you know, it's so uncomfortable to just rise up from the bed, oh, I need to sleep every last ounce of this beautiful sleep that God has given me. If we consistently feed to the desires of the flesh and fail to recognize that there is a higher call that God has given us that will propel us to the next destiny, then we will not be advancing spiritually. For indeed, God has given us a higher call. Praise be to God. He has given us a higher call to accomplish his purposes here on earth. And let me tell you, church, just as we were starting in the Bible study, there is not going to be any spiritual growth without prayer. There's not going to be any spiritual advancement without a travailing prayer. Let me tell you, fathers, how many fathers we have in the house? We are not going to have complete success in what our children do if we are not going to engage ourselves in a travailing prayer. Are you with me today? Let me tell you, church, the Lord has been challenging me constantly that there's another level that he wants us to get. And unless we recognize who we are and the potential that is locked within us, that needs only to be activated by problems that we are going to face in this country, in our families, in our places of work, unless we recognize how to unlock that potential so that we can look upon God and trust him to use us the way we are in order to combat those problems, even on a national level, on a family level. And it's very good for us to be aware of what is happening, not only within the environment of our home. It is good for us to know what is happening within America. It is good for us to know what is happening within our communities. It is good for us to know what is happening within the world. Praise be to God. For the solutions that are needed for this world are not going to come out of the governments. Are not going to come out of the leaders that we have in high places. Are not going to come out of the White House. The solutions to the problems that we face in the world today are going to come from here. When people decide, when men of God decide, when children of God decide to get on their knees and call upon their God. Hallelujah. There are strongholds in Farmers Branch that will never be shaken by the mayor of Farmers Branch. No matter how many meetings they are going to call, no matter how many council meetings they are going to call, there are so many problems in America today, like now. What is going on right now? There is a battle to raise the debt ceiling. Have you read of the repercussions? Children of God, let me tell you, it is good not to be ignorant. It is good to know what would be the repercussions. What we need to pray. How do I need to ask the Spirit to direct my prayer? Because the Bible tells me I may really not know what to pray and how to pray. But I need to arise to a position whereby I'm intimate with the Holy Ghost so that He can direct me what and how to pray concerning that situation. President Obama, the senators, the Republicans, or the Democrats will never have an answer. But let me tell you, child of God, when you know your position, you can kneel down and call on heaven. And God, with His supernatural power, and God with His supernatural intervention, can hit on those Republicans and the Democrats and the president, and He can begin to turn their ideologies and how they perceive things. But unless we pray, nothing will ever happen. Are you with me, church? I'm very, very passionate about this, please. I'd like us to be very, very attentive. The moment we transcend the desires of meeting the needs of this body, the moment God is going to give us the ability to transcend the things, just the natural things. You know, I just go to work so I can pay my bills. I just go to pay my bills so that I can live in this house. I just want to live in this house so that I can continue to survive. But when the Spirit of God gives us an impetus to transcend those natural things, they are good and they are part of this life. But let those things be the launch pad that will take me to a place where God wants me to go. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. It will just be a precipitation, or rather kind of like an air opener. God has given me this life to live. I don't eat to live. I don't live to eat, but I live to eat. I live to fulfill the purposes for which God has given me. When I don't see a brother in the church, when I don't see a sister in the church, when things are going astray in the body of Jesus Christ, I need to take that as my own responsibility. A time when we shifted blame or passed over the buck to somebody else, church, that is not things that are connected to spiritual advancement. But God is calling for people who are going to take the bull by its horns. Who are going to say, I'm not going to leave this house until, Lord, you intervene in sister and so-and-so's situation. I'm not going to leave my closet until you intervene in brother so-and-so's situation. Father, I have learned that there is a brother, there is a child of so-and-so who is going astray and in drugs. Lord, I will never leave my closet until you give me an answer. I'm not going to leave your closet, Lord. I'm not going to leave this place until you give me an answer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, who is the enemy of our spiritual advancement? It's very, very important for us to recognize who is the enemy of our spiritual advancement. Number one, it's very, very important for you to know. Chapter number 6, verse number 12. The Bible says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts in the wickedness in the heavenly places. You have to know who your enemy is. Sometimes when you feel like you do not want to pray and you want to sleep some extra 30 minutes while you know in your mind that you need to be waking up and standing in the gap for somebody, let me tell you, it is not your body. It might be you thinking that it's, oh, I'm so tired, I overworked last night. But in the real sense, you are fighting against an unseen enemy. Against powers, against rulers that have sent out assignments on you. Demons and demonets that are assigned on you to just trail and monitor your movements. Let me tell you, child of God, you are more than a conqueror. But the enemy knows that too as well. And he has dedicated his life to send out mercenaries against your life. He knows that the moment you kneel down and connect with your heavenly Father, heaven will come down and things will never be the same. Glory be to Jesus.
Let me tell you, the moment you hold that Bible and you're just wanting to get a revelation and your mind strays away, it is not because your mind is so jammed up with stuff that maybe you read from a book or from school. It's not that you had a busy day. Sometimes it might be an assault from the kingdom of the enemy trying to distract you from that word. Why is it that when you open up CNN or you open up SMNBC, you are able to read every news? Why is it every time you open up the Daily Nation, you're not distracted? But the moment you take the word of God, everything goes loose and hell breaks loose, because he knows the moment you gain that word and hide it inside of you, you will not sin against God. Because that word will lift us and raise a standard on your life, so that when the enemy throws out a dart against you, that word will bubble out of you and you can direct it towards him, and it can, that dart that he throws against you can go back to him seven times. But the word, without the word, Pastor, without that word stored up in us, it's going to be a problem, church. It's going to be a problem. Think about this. The Bible says that one can chase a thousand. One charity, you. I tell you, my sister, truly, truly, I tell you. If only you dedicate yourself every single morning, I don't care how many minutes, it might be two, but connecting with the Heavenly Father fervently, one person, the Bible says you can chase a thousand. If we can join just the two of us, I'm not talking about everybody, just two. Like Jim and Beatrice, you just decide, you know what? We shall be waking up in the morning, praying and interceding for the ECC, praying for the body of Christ in this metroplex, praying for the government. The Bible says that they can chase 10,000. I don't know how God works out. I don't know whether somebody ever came up with a formula. How 1,000, that synergy power, how the multiplicity of that power. I don't know. I wish I can get the formula so that I know when I'm hooked up with Sister Wamboi and I'm hooked up with Sister Purity, how many demons that we might chase. I need to know the formula when I hook up with Julius and I hook up with my sister Mureshi and Gideon, how many we can chase away. The power that we've been given. And let me tell you, church, listen to me. The enemy knows. Every time we want to connect brothers together and sisters together to pray, he fights that. There is no greater agenda in hell than to disrupt a fellowship of prayer. Because he knows the power that you have. That when you dedicate yourself to just really send out assaults and tomahawks, missiles into his kingdom, you can just down once, one blow, 1,000 demons will be on their feet. Just crying and running away. He knows that if only two can join together, 10,000 demons will be running different directions. And that's why, let me tell you, church, every prayer fellowship is assaulted by the kingdom of the devil. There is no greater agenda in hell. No greater agenda than to disrupt prayer meetings. Than to disrupt, to give you more sleep, to give you, you know, a feeling of, oh, I can do it tomorrow. I will pray more tomorrow. I will do this tomorrow. I will postpone this prayer meeting. I will not go to prayer because, you know what, there is this funeral arrangement that just came and I need to go and support them. Come on, let us wake up and smell the coffee. It is good to go to those meetings. It is good to go to friends' houses. But let me tell you, if there is anything that we cannot afford to miss in this hour, it is to get into your closet. If you do, if you have a place that you can just dedicate in your house, it might be a corner beside your couch, it might be just by the fireplace, it might be even in your bathroom, maybe by the corner near the bathtub, it might, I don't know what it is, but just get a closet where you can commune with God. Because let me tell you, the things that we are facing today, we need to be spiritually mature, church. Because when the devil comes in like a flood, I want the Lord to find me capable of handling that standard that he's going to raise. Because when he comes in like a flood, there's some demons that will need for me to travail and sometimes go without food. I need to survive and to not fulfill the desires of this flesh. Are you with me, church? The weapons that we fight with are not carnal. They're not carnal. As a matter of fact, they're not carnal. In your office, sometimes you might feel like the boss is against you. might be a business and you're trying to make it, and every time you apply for that credit, as a child of God, you don't find it. And while other people try to apply, they get it. Let me tell you, the enemy knows. He knows very well that when you advance, even in your financial status, you're going to get good money. And because you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you love God, you're going to pay tithes and you're going to be blessed even more. And you're going to support the work of the ministry. The agenda in the kingdom of hell is that we may stay poor without any financial progress. Always being in a roller coaster. Huh? On a treadmill analogy. You're really working hard, but when you look back, there's nothing that we are acquiring. Spiritual advancement. You have to know the enemy. You have to know the kind of war that we are fighting. The Bible says against principalities. I wish I have time to explain the principalities. I wish against powers. We fight. Listen, principalities is different from powers. Against the rulers of darkness. There are rulers, unseen rulers in the heavenly places. And that's why it's good to speak to the atmosphere in your house when there is no peace. It could be maybe your husband came in and you do not know. I'm a fool too. You know, your husband just decided not to speak. Your wife might be acting up. In the real sense, your wife is not your enemy. In the real sense, your husband is not the problem. But they are rulers in the atmosphere. They know if they interject hatred in your wife. They know if they interject, you know, disobedience in your children. You're not going to find time to pray. So learn how to speak to your atmosphere. I love what one mama in our church does. When she senses that there's a problem, she has bought an anointing oil and she goes around her house and anointed her house, declaring no devil, not even bugs that are connected to any demonic activity will harbor and enter into my house. Let me tell you, church, a time is coming when you have to be radical. If your husband is a problem, get an anointing oil. When he's snoozing in the night, come on, smack him on the face with that anointing and tell him, my husband, I declare that you will never be rude to me. I declare you will treat me as a woman of honor. Hallelujah. You can do it. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to call me. Wait for him until he's asleep. Husbands, if your wife is really turning out, she used to be a nice, you know, when you come home, she treats you like an angel. But all suddenly, the atmosphere has changed. Rulers in the high places are ministering to her. You need to offer a covering over her. Begin to go to the closet, my brother. It is time. You cannot just be, you know, that woman cannot longer be asking you, oh, can you pray for us? It should be a time when we wake up in the morning. Let me tell you, church, we need to be an encouragement to one another. Early in the morning when my wife wakes up, when she wakes up and she is praying, and I can hear her praying in the place, in her closet, in her dedicated altar. And actually she took over my altar. I had another altar and she took it over. And now I also took her altar too. So now when I hear her praying, I cannot just stay in bed because I know she is fighting. And I go to my closet and I begin to fight. I bring to pray for you. I begin to command a day for you. Some of the blessings that you experience is because somebody was in the closet interceding for you. I need you also to stand in the gap, intercede for us. Intercede for pastor when he leads the Bible study. Intercede for Brother Julius. Intercede for everyone. As many as you can remember, intercede for James Move. Intercede for their family. When the Lord puts it, because you never know. Command those rulers, principalities in the high places to come right. God has given us power. The Bible says that you've been given power and authority against everything, against snakes and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You can command it yourself because the Spirit of God helps you in your weaknesses. And when you are intimate with the Holy Spirit, He will show you what to pray and how to pray and who to pray for and what needs to pray for. Glory to Jesus. That is what is spiritual advancement. As a matter of fact, when you're spiritually advanced, nobody will ever announce for you to come to the house of God for prayer. I don't have to remind you that you need to have to form or to create an altar in your house to intercede.
Because it is for your benefit. Let me tell you, there's one lady who told me this. This is what she told me. That says sometimes you will pray prayers. And the Lord keeps those prayers in. She was, you know, using an analogy. That she can, that the Lord can keep those prayers in some shelves. So that when a time of need comes, she will remember what you prayed. Some of you are surviving by prayers that were prayed by your mother many, many years ago and you don't even know it. Some of you have never experienced an accident in city because your dad one time stood in the gap and said, when my child shall be in that great country, no harm shall come over them. Prayer is powerful. Oh, glory to Jesus. I wish we can advance because without any spiritual growth, without prayer, there is no spiritual growth. Without any prayer, there isn't any spiritual advancement. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Why spiritual advancement? Because the call that God has given us demands that we pray. Look at Nehemiah. I've been studying the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1. Nehemiah, the Bible says that he was a cupbearer. A cupbearer of the king. In other words, he just tasted food for the king. He's the one who would taste the food first before the king would have it. Actually, according to the Bible, he was a very important person. He was actually in the palace where the king dwelt. You know? But one day, he receives a message from one of the Jews who was actually exiled in Babylon. And as he comes, he inquires. He inquires like we would do today. Oh, how is Sister Noel? Where has she been? And then, where is so and so? I've not seen her for some time. Where is Brother James Move? Where? I've not seen him in a while. How is he doing? And then a report came that, you know what, some of those that are surviving, in other words, he was told there are some who died. But there are some who survived. Okay? And then he was told that the walls of Jerusalem was completely ruined and broken. Let me tell you, when you read verse number 4, the Bible says that this news broke the heart of this very special person who was serving the king. He cried out unto the Lord, and for 3 days he did not eat just because of a message. Do we have Nehemiahs today who can really have a creative, an authentic burden for us, an authentic brothers for the church, an authentic burden for brothers and sisters who are going through a tough time? Nehemiah would have chosen to say, you know what, I don't care. I eat very well. I dine with the king. I have everything. I have access to the king. As a matter of fact, before the king eats his food, I probably might be the one who say the grace. I mean, I'm able to converse with the king. Why should I care with those Jews who are being persecuted in that country? Why should I care even for Jerusalem? Why should I care that the walls of Jerusalem are ruined? But this is not what we find with Nehemiah. The Bible says for 3 days. We can read that. And the Bible says, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and moaned for many days. Actually, it's many days, not 3 days. He moaned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the Lord of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, oh great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your covenant. Hallelujah. Please let your ear be attentive to your eyes. Open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. Can you note that? He was praying day and what? He was praying day and night for the children of Israel, your servants, and he confessed the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted corruptly. Who is going to stand in the gap when such severity against the church, when such an assault against the body of Christ is taking place right now, even in other countries, like in the Muslim countries? The body of Christ is being persecuted. But who is gonna stand in the gap like Nehemiah and say, after he received the sad news for many days and nights, He kept aside his personality. He kept aside everything, his access and the freedom he had with the king. And he sought the face of Jehovah. That is what I call spiritual advancement. Not regarding the money that you have in the bank. Not regarding the kind of car that you drive. Not regarding even the kind of a community that you go with. Not regarding even the class. Because now, you know, we live in a class whereby, oh, I don't talk to these kind of people because they live in this kind of an area. I can only talk to the people who live in this area because that's where I belong to. He regarded less all that. And he sought the face of Jehovah. If only, Lord, you can intervene. If only you can remember your children. If only, God, you can remember. And he cried out day and night for many days. May God raise Nehemiahs in our day. May God give us the burden to stand in the gap and completely and genuinely and authentically commit ourselves to the precepts and the purposes for which God has given us. Church, God, the Lord is looking upon you. Do not look on your weaknesses. Do not look on who you are. Do not look on what people have called you in the past, because the Holy Spirit is ready to lift you up in your weaknesses, to help you up in your weaknesses. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Just give me a few minutes and I will be able to conclude here. I couldn't help but remember Mordecai. You know the story of Esther? When Naaman just decided to come together with a few people to draw up a conspiracy against the Jews. Let me tell you, the assault, whether you know it or whether you do not know it, there is a consistent warfare against you, targeted against you. When you're working, when you're sleeping, when you're dealing with your husband, when you're dealing with your children, consistent attacks are drawn by the kingdom of the enemy against you. And let me tell you, just living the life to satisfy, to pay the bills and to satisfy the needs of this body will not cut it. And sometimes we go through hard times and we fail because we fail to recognize that we are constantly, constantly at war. And so Naaman draws a conspiracy against the Jews. And when Mordecai realized what was going on, he didn't care, because this man, he said, no, I cannot. This ain't going to happen in my watch. God is calling on a person who is going to say, this ain't going to happen in my watch. I can't watch the family of sister so-and-so crumble while I watch. I cannot stand and watch the children of so-and-so crumble as I watch. I cannot stand to see our country coming down into turmoil while I watch. And Mordecai decided to clothe him in sackcloth and even went to places that were forbidden, to the gates, to the king gate. And he was crying out and crying, and everybody wanted to remove him from there because, you know, they thought that he was bringing a disgrace to the kingdom. And he said, no, I'm going to cry out because this conspiracy cannot take place in my watch. May God raise some Mordecais here in this church. May God raise some Mordecais in our time today. And so news spread out to Queen Esther, and she tried to send some clothes just to hide the shame of his uncle, who was it? And Mordecai said, I don't need clothes right now. Where I am right now, I don't need clothes. I don't need to satisfy the desires of my flesh. I am transcending beyond meeting the desires of this body. I am fighting a battle that is greater than the nakedness of my body. Do not send in clothes. I want you to understand the conspiracy against my people, the church. I cannot stand as they kill Christians in Islamabad or whatever it is. I'm going to stand in the gap, church. And so Queen Esther learned about the story, and the Spirit of God helped her. And she said, if I perish, let me perish.
If I perish, let me perish. I don't care for this queen being a queen. I don't care even for the glorious position in which I hold. But if my people are, they cannot die while I sit down on this palace and witness good things coming toward me. If I perish, let me perish. Glory be to God. May God raise some Esthers in our midst. Hallelujah. Quickly. A few steps that we can take, about 5 steps, I hope I'll be able to finish, to defeat your enemy. Number one, recognize that the Lord is the source of any spiritual advancement. Amen? Recognize that the Lord wills that we advance spiritually. Because there are certain things that will call for us to undertake and to pursue. There are souls that are entrenched into the gates of hell that will never come out by just witnessing to them. There are souls that are completely tied up by demonic activity, and they are on their way to hell unless we travail in prayer and call them out and disconnect the chains in the spiritual realm. Let me tell you, unless we hear the call of prayer, God wants us to advance spiritually, because the call is so high, and as high as that call is, God wants us to be on a higher level to be able to combat it. So recognize that it is the Lord's will, and He is the source of any spiritual advancement. Hebrews chapter number 6 verses 1. For this reason, let us go on from the first things about Christ to full growth, not building again that on which it is based, that it is the turning of the hearts from dead works and faith in God. In other words, he's telling us, let us come out of the elementary teachings that we first for so learned. We cannot forever continue to dwell on those elementary truths that we learned about Christ. It was very important to lay the foundation as a child of God, but we can never just dwell on the foundation. The house has to be built on that foundation. That is the call of God on us. We have to get away from the elementary teachings and grow and develop and mature up. Praise be to God. Number two, wisdom involves searching a matter before making decisions or decrees. In other words, in order for us to defeat the enemy, or in other words, defeating the enemies of spiritual development, there has to be a call, a stirring up of some sort within your heart. That you feel, you know, there are those times that I have that I feel I need to take about 3 days fast. I need to start building up. You remember, like, you know, there was a time we had said, let us begin to come together and maybe we can start feeding the hungry. It is very, very important for us to investigate and know the issue at hand. How am I going to deal this prayerlessness? Can I arrange and organize myself so that I can get some time off so that I can go and pray? It is good to investigate whatever it is that the Lord has put in your heart before you can even, in other words, don't rush into it. And while on that, postpone telling other people about it. Did you ever know that the devil will never know something unless you whisper, or unless you open up your mouth and tell it out to somebody else? The devil is not omnipresent. So he's not everywhere. Unless you open up your mouth and tell it to the devil, he will never know what you're doing. Are we together? So, searching a matter before making decisions or decrees. Postpone informing other people until you're sure it's the Lord's will in this matter. And you can find that in Nehemiah 12:16. When he learned and prayed out to the Lord, and he learned that, you know what? God is giving me a favor before the king. Do you know what? He went at night. He never even told anybody. He wanted to scan and to check out the wall that has been destroyed. Okay, I need how many blocks? Maybe I need about 16 blocks. I need about 1,000 blocks here. I need some timbers here. Oh, I need to know somebody who has a forest here. I need to get some nails, you know, to put it on. I need to put everything together in order for this wall to be erect. I need to begin an investigation. I need to know. And even the people that he was supposed to tell. The Bible says that he never told them anything. They even did not know that he was by night passing by the king's gate and trying to investigate this wall that had been torn down and it was in ruins. And he investigated. He investigated without telling anybody. Postpone telling something. Let me tell you, when there is a conception of an idea that is birthed and put there by the Holy Spirit, you have to sustain it through prayer. Do not release that information to anybody. Because you know the devil will cause it to abort if you tell him. Because he knows that dream, that conception that is stirring up, it will bring into bar the purpose that will be greater, probably bigger than you, that will gonna surmount and destroy his kingdom. Postpone telling other people. Tell somebody, postpone telling somebody. You can go read Nehemiah 2, 12, 16. As a matter of fact, I can read that. Then I arose. Listen, from verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and there, and was there 3 days. He spent some time investigating it. Verse number 12. Then I arose in the night. I arose in the night and I and a few men with me. Listen, he was with some men. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and to the refuse gate and viewed the walls of Jerusalem. In other words, let God unveil the whole plan. We prayed and God is going to unveil the whole plan. Do not mess up the plan by telling other people. You know, the first time you pick up the phone, oh, the Lord is leading me to go to school. Oh, you're so old, you cannot go to school. Oh, what did you get in your elementary school? You got a C. You can't make it. Nursing is so difficult. Every time it happens. But if you didn't tell them, you continue doing what God spoke to you, Brother Julius. If it's writing another book, do not even pick up the phone to call me. Seek the Lord concerning it first. And put everything together. Let them know when the book is in the print. Oh, you know what? I have another book coming. So whether you like it or not, that book is going to be published. But if you consider, oh, I'm thinking of doing this and this. That is how we are used to doing church. Is that not what we do? Oh, I had this idea. I want to start a business. And you're talking to somebody who is not even an entrepreneur. Oh, you cannot make it in America. Who told you can make it? Shh. Can you say shh? Shh, hush, hush. They say hush, hush in America. Hush, hush. Hush, hush. Don't tell everybody about the dream. And so I went up in the night valley and viewed the wall, and then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and saw their turn. And the officials, listen, and the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews. God, are you reading with me? Listen to what it says, verse 16. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told even the Jews. Listen, the priests and the nobles and the officials or the other who did the work. Can you see that? He did not disclose this to anybody. He did not disclose this to anybody. So at the right time, first of all, he needed to investigate. So it's very, very important for you to involve searching a matter before making a decision or decree. Praise be to God. Allow me to just finish up this three and then we are done. Now, the other thing that you have to expect is no advancement, no spiritual advancement will go unopposed. This is the part that we need to know. No spiritual growth. When you said, Brother Julius said something very important, very, very profound last week. We had a meeting with the media ministry and this is what he said. You know what? If you have some dogs that are really, really serious in your home and you have a car and that car is stationary, guess what? Those dogs will never bark at that stationary car. But the moment you get your key, and you're going, now the dogs begin to run after the tires. Hello? So the moment you decide to do something, it will invoke wrath from the other kingdom. So we need to expect that whenever we set our minds to spiritually advance, we are going to invoke wrath from the other kingdom. Expect, rather than being surprised or dismayed, hostility when undertaking the will of God. And you can read this from Nehemiah, actually from verse number 17. The moment he opened up his mouth now, after investigating, after telling them, oh, you know what? But he knew, I had prayed, I'd gone to watch it out, I know exactly what I need, I know who I may contract to do this job. Then verse number 17, immediately he opened up his mouth. Immediately. Are you reading with me? The Bible says, then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste and its gates are burnt with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's word that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. But when Sanballat and Horonite, Tobiah the Amorite official, and Geshem and the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing you're trying to do? Haven't you heard that from another person another day? What is this you're trying to do? You can never make it. You will never break through in America. You need, first of all, to have a lawyer. You need to have certain documentations in order to break through. But I want you to tell them, hush, hush. But yes, and expect, number three, no advancement will go unopposed. Hallelujah. Number four, very quickly. Favor shown to God's people will invoke anger from our spiritual adversary. And I don't want to dwell on that so much. Much of the human resistance is spiritually motivated. People are not your enemies. Praise be to God. You can go that to Nehemiah 2 verse number 10. Bible says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Amorite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. When God is showing favor to a man, the enemy is very hard. He is very ready at arms to come and attack. Actually, as a matter of fact, whenever you have people opposing you, it could be at your place of work. In reality, those people are not your enemies. Even when your husband acts up, when your wife, you know, doesn't want to talk to you, when your children are off, those children are good children. But there's an assault that has been sent from the kingdom of the enemy. And we need to realize that. Very, very important. So may know how to deal with the root cause and not the, what is it, what do you call? Do not deal, we ought to deal with the root cause other than dealing with the diagnosis or the symptoms. Sometimes we are dealing with the symptoms. Oh, why are you acting to me like that? And you open up your mouth, you're dealing with the symptom. While the root cause of the thing lies laughing at you. Oh, continue to do it. Laugh at the symptom, deal with the symptom. But God is calling us to deal with the root cause of the problem. Praise be to God. Number five, and the last one. Be sensitive and reject negativity toward what you intend to achieve. And this you can find from Nehemiah, chapter number 6, verse number 12. You can read all that and you will be surprised. That, you know, when he set now to rebuild the walls, Sanballat sent out, you know, he came like he wanted to help them rebuild the wall. But, you know, Nehemiah was so focused. He said, you know what? I cannot even come to a meeting that you're calling me upon, because what I'm set to do, God has given me the favor to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And I am not leaving this work, because if I leave it, then the work will cease. And they later came to tell him, oh, you know what? We've been sent that, you know, they brought negative. In other words, keep away from negative people. Hallelujah. Negative people will bring you down. And there's a saying in my language, where I come from. They say, if you continue living with negative people, even you being a positive person, sooner or later you start being negative. So watch what other people tell you, what your friends. Let me tell you, church, I'm very, very careful. I don't want somebody who will tell me that I cannot do it. Because who is he to tell me that I cannot do it? The Bible says that I'm more than a conqueror, and the Lord has blessed me indeed, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise be to God. Stand on your feet, church. Hallelujah. Go read Nehemiah 6. You can read the whole of chapter number 6. It's amazing. Amazing, you know. Amazing when we determined to spiritually advance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Lord has called the fathers to be the leaders of their families. And unless a father will set himself on a corner and in travail, set at least 15, 30 minutes to intercede and seek the Lord's direction concerning your family, it's not going to cut it. We need to pray for our children. We need to pray for their, even while still young, we need to pray for their future families, their spouses who are going to come along, you know, down the road, their children. We need to pray. Some of the prayers that you pray now will sustain them then. And you being a leader of anything in the church, let me tell you, you need the grace of the Lord. You need to set aside some time where you can intercede and seek God concerning that which the Lord has given you to rule and lead over. Any leader who does not spend time to pray is not going to cut it. But church, I'm not here to take us through a guilt trip. I'm here to tell us that the grace of the Lord is so sufficient. And we can forget the past from today and tell the Lord we want to begin afresh. I want to set some time every single day, Pastor. Lord, I want to set some special time, 15 minutes, it might be 10 minutes, where I get on a closet, where I get on a corner and call upon the name of the Lord. You'll be amazed how the grace of the Lord is so sufficient that you'll be encouraged. You might start with 5 minutes. Tomorrow you might do 10. The next day you might do 15. The next time your wife might be coming to pat you telling you must go to work now. Praise be to God. It is the responsibility of every single one of us. We need to get on our knees and call upon heaven. Praise be to God. Grab the hand of the person standing next to you in the name of Jesus.